Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh Appel is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. By the way, before we talk some football here, if you're looking for Canes or Dolphins merch, check out Caneswear in Davie on University Drive or online at caneswear.com. Josh Appel does play-by-play nationally on Sports USA for the NFL. He was on the call and had a fantastic call for the Chiefs win over the Broncos on Sunday. But I want to talk Dolphins, Josh. They're 3-6. We were talking a little bit off the air. So they're a remarkably different team when Tua's the quarterback. He is the quarterback again. Do you see a path to the playoffs? Will you allow your emotions to get the best of you after last night and see a path to the playoffs, or do you think this is too little too late?
I lean too little too late, but the schedule is very favorable, as many have pointed out. They are going to be in the hunt graphic probably until the end of the season. And what I feel like is likely is they're going to look back at that Colts game, the Cardinals game, the Bills game. Maybe you get one or two of those, the Titans game, and you have a lot different outlook on the season. But I think it was Tua who said, and I know you can't really compare year over year because just how different rosters are and circumstances with other teams, but this is a team that started 1-7 a couple years ago and essentially won out at the end of the year and missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker. So like the idea that this team is incapable of that with the talent they have on the roster, I mean, I think it's completely plausible and possible. They're just going to need a lot of help because they've done, like, dug themselves such a big hole.
And Josh, speaking of year to year, we were talking about earlier where this isn't the offensive top four category offense. And we still have, you know, a number of the same players on this offense. But we were saying that last night, that defense won that game. That front four getting to Matt Stafford. Is that what can this team mold itself to make that run to where the defense has to step up like it did? Because I think about it, Tua's back, 27-27-23. They're a mid-20 offense, but we have to hold people to 20 now, and I think the defense didn't have that responsibility last year. I think the defense has to get us to the playoffs this year.
You know, I think that, you know, with the return of Zach Sealer, it kind of makes you wonder what if he didn't miss those couple of games, if the defense maybe holds up a little better in the second half. You know, like he's clearly such a huge and important part of what this defense does. And I think you're starting to see Chop Robinson finally get into the groove and start to play well. They were able to get pressure on Stafford quite a bit last night. It was by far Anthony Weaver's best game calling plays defensively of the year. And they've shown flashes of being this defense. Like during that losing streak, I mean, Indy, Arizona, Buffalo, those were games they all led in the second half. And the defense had played well for the majority and then fell apart at the end. This was a game that I needed to see from them. Could the defense finish and are they capable of that? I'm interested to see what happens and how long Fuller is out because they're very thin at corner. But all things considered, they obviously held up very well when he went out of the game last night. Yeah, they gave up a few chunk plays, but if you're going to hold teams to field goals in the red zone and goal-to-go scenarios, you're going to win more often than you're not.
Did we learn more about the Dolphins yesterday, though, than we did about the Rams? Because they had 1-3 straight. They had that big win versus Seattle. And I really thought the Rams were a team that were going to make some noise. But I thought yesterday, I knew who the Dolphins were. Like, I knew what they were capable of. I knew what Tua was capable of when healthy. We saw it the last 2 weeks. I learned more about the Rams last night, in my opinion, that they're really not a good football team, which makes me have some pause buying into the Dolphins going on some miraculous run here, because when they do have to face the Packers and you know, some of the better teams, the Niners, later on in the season, how is that going to look?
Here's the thing I would say about that, though. they're not a good team in primetime. That was one of the big storylines for the Dolphins going into last night. They went across the country in primetime and beat a team that was playing well. I agree with you. I don't think the Rams maybe are as good as many think. They're really young on defense. They got some talent on defense. But that team is always going to be in games because they have Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, and Cooper Kupp and Kyron Williams. Like, they're really talented on offense. Their O-line, it honestly felt reminiscent of kind of watching the Dolphins. Their O-line just completely fell apart last night. And credit to Miami for scheming up some good pass rush and things of that nature. But I mean, maybe the Rams are not who we thought they were when they're healthy. But look, I mean, winning three games in a row and then still a talented team coming in, like, it's hard to win every week in the league. And the Dolphins had a really good game plan. And I think the Rams will look back at this film and say, we had some really costly mistakes, really costly turnovers and costly penalties that probably put it out of reach for ourselves while still giving credit to Miami for how they played. I think the Rams will be right in the thick of it in the West the rest of the season. I'm really interested to see how that division shakes out. I have Arizona and Seattle in 2 weeks. Arizona looks really good. San Francisco just got McCaffrey back. They seem like they're getting back to what we're used to seeing from them. And I feel like the Rams and the Seahawks are just good enough to hang around. So it's a really interesting division. I think it's a really good win for the Dolphins last night. And, you know, at times it might not have been the prettiest, but when you're 2-6, you need every win you can get. You take prime time on the road, West Coast, and you take that and you run.
Yeah, especially with their history, like you said, in prime time. But when you look at the Dolphins and you acknowledge, and I think we all know it, they'll be in that in the hunt graphic, like you
where
said.
I live.
Let's say they get to the playoffs. Is this unequivocally a playoff team? Is it better than what the record says? Is it about what the record says? Like, I'm curious what happens if they do get there.
I think that they are better than what their record says. It's so hard to get a gauge for what this team actually is because you had a 4-game sample without Tua, 5-game sample without Tua, where they were just anemic on the offensive side. They could not move the ball. Their defense was playing well in those games, and their offense could not move the ball and could not score points. Like, you'd have a hard time convincing me that they're not beating Tennessee, they're not beating Indianapolis at the very least if they have Tua Tagovailoa healthy, right? And I know we're operating in hypotheticals with that, but I don't think it's that controversial to say that the Dolphins are more talented than both of those teams. I really don't. I think maybe the Dolphins aren't as good as maybe we all hyped them up to be, myself included, before the season. But I still think they are, you know, a team that's right in the thick of it as far as being a playoff team. But on the flip side of that, like, that's not where you want to be right now, right? Like, the goal this season was to finally dethrone Buffalo and have a home playoff game and all that. Like, you did we get into the playoffs the last couple of years. And so while it would be great to make it again this year, and it would be a great accomplishment given the start through 8 games, I mean, that's not what they're striving for. They're not striving to be a wild card team to play round one on the road in a place that is going to be in adverse conditions for how they operate as a team and how they operate as an offense.
And just watching it, and they were talking about it last night on the broadcast too, where it's so obvious Tua's going to let go of that ball in 2 seconds. He's not extending any plays. He did a little bit in the Buffalo game through the touchdown to Waddle. But do you think at some point, I don't know if I get the confidence back or whatever, the fear out of us to where Tua needs to start extending plays more to make that run, talking about a playoff team?
Listen, I thought Tua last night, for the most part, did an excellent job extending the play. Like, there were some, like, think about the third down late. Like, how many times have the Dolphins had the ball up by a score, needing to get like that one extra first down to chew up some clock, and they have a third down and medium, I think it was, and Tua rolls out of the pocket, recognizes the pressure coming in his face, and finds Raheem Mostert for one of the biggest plays that they've made this year. I think he also had another conversion or a touchdown pass where he was on the move as well. I thought, for the most part, he did a really good job, because credit to L.A. and what they did. They made Tua hang on to the ball quite a bit last night, and I get a little heebie-jeebies watching him, not because of the concussion stuff, but because, like, when he gets hit, he has a tendency to lose the ball, and that happened last night, and he tends to rush throws that aren't there, and that was, you know, he got lucky a couple times, even after the interception, not having a ball picked off. It wasn't a perfect game by Tua, but, like, there were moments where they needed a play from him, and he made the play.
that was the most impressive part about last night, because we keep thinking of this Dolphins offense clicking as last year's 70-point performance versus Denver. And what I think of when I think of the Dolphins last year and the year before under Mike McDaniel, okay, I love the he's got Hill calls for sure and right. the chunk plays. But every time the Dolphins had like a third and long, third and nine, third and eight, third and 13, you felt like you had a chance. And that was gone this year, even in the last two games. You felt last night, every time you like you had a chance, even after the Mostert third and 14 conversion, the biggest play of the game, in my opinion, was the third and nine pass to Malik Washington on the move, which set up Jason Sanders to go kick a 50-yard field goal. That is what was missing, Appel, from this Dolphins offense. Not so much the big plays, but the timely plays when you need them.
You all thought Jason Sanders was missing that field goal, right?
100%. I already 100%. Had the tweet written out.
100%.
Listen, if that was for 50, not, no disrespect to Jason Sanders, but if that's a 51 or a 52-yard attempt, that thing's going wide right. He really stuck it inside that right upright. I mean, you see, again.
That had missed field goal and then 8-point play coming up from the Rams. I mean, like, we all knew the script. We had seen the script.
But that, I guess, was what for me was so encouraging about last night, and what felt different was that when they needed that play, when they needed that third down conversion to chew another minute off the clock, they got it. And then Sanders stepped up. Doesn't matter how close it was, he made the kick. And it was just a fantastic job by the Dolphins executing late, and a really, really awesome job by the defense and just how they played overall. Zach Sealer, like one of the most underrated players in the game, especially for the value they get with his contract.
And you call all you, Josh, you go around the league and all. Is the AFC, we thought it was going to be a lot stronger this year. Will that be susceptible or advantageous, I would say, to the Dolphins? Because Cincinnati's coming on, but their record's not great. We know the Ravens and the Chiefs are going to make it. So is it really the Ravens and the Chiefs and then everybody else pretty much piled up no matter the records? Because the AFC is underachieving this year, I believe.
I think you could put Buffalo in that category with those two teams. That Chiefs-Bills game on Sunday is going to be incredible. I think that plays into the Dolphins' hands, though, because it feels like there are a lot of just like the same types of teams in the AFC playing for those final playoff spots, right? So I think that actually is advantageous for the Dolphins that there is such a logjam where a lot of these teams are kind of beating up on each other, and I think it happened any week. Like, there's never been as many close games, one-score games in NFL history than there has been this season. I mean, ask the Chiefs. They've played in eight of them. Like, all of their games come down to the end. And it happens with everybody. Like, Baltimore blew out Denver the week before, right? And then Denver goes into Kansas City and is a 35-yard field goal getting blocked away from defeating the Chiefs. The Bills, the Bengals, like all these teams, they all play these close games. And I think that kind of plays into the Dolphins' hands.
Dolphins were up against it. Dolphins handle their business Sunday against the Raiders?
Business will be handled.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. You're buying. Yeah. Oh, you saw last night, and now you're in. They'll be 5-6. Here's what I think, though. They're going to be 5-6 with two victories coming up over the Raiders and the Patriots, and they're going to look really good because it's the Raiders and the Patriots. And then we might have a false idea of who they actually are versus who they really are. I don't know. The pendulum might swing wildly from one side to the next with a couple of demonstrative victories over the Raiders and the Patriots.
But isn't that what's so great about this sport? Is that a month ago, the season's over and they're not playing for anything.
The great thing about sports, politics, the markets, everything. I mean, you feel one way one day and you feel a totally different way the other day. I can't wait for NBA Cup tonight.
Lie.
Yeah, at 2 o'clock, I thought it was boring. I've swung the other way. I cannot wait tonight for the NBA Cup.
Solana got me on board with it.
If we could take that month of non-Tua football out, we'd have a whole different thought about
it. Oh, my God. I mean, that was just, honestly, it's – That was upsetting.
Yeah. I think – I don't know if Hawk or Crowder ever experienced this, but Solana, maybe it was more of our generation than we were in school. You know, sometimes in a class, like the teacher at the end of the semester would be like, all right, you can drop your lowest test grade from the overall average at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the NFL should institute that kind of a rule where you can just drop your one or two worst performances. And how about your final
mulligan
record?
A mulligan. One mulligan at the end of the year. Hawk, did they have that in 1920 when you were in elementary school?
Well, a mulligan is a do-over. You'd have to play it again. That's not what Josh is talking about. No. But Josh is kind of talking about how the college football playoffs used to be, which was subjective. Like you literally, at the end of the season, the brain trust would get in the room and they would go, you know what? They weren't as bad as their record shows, and they're the champions. That's what Josh is lobbying for there. Just make it subjective at the end of the season.
Crowder seems on board with it.
What they do in the schoolhouse? They would take your worst grade away.
Mm-hmm.
So not all teachers would do it, but some teachers would do a thing at the end where they're like, "Hey,
get your marks up."
Listen, did y'all's bus have tinted windows?
Okay. You want to talk about what you majored in at UF? Mr. Twinkle Toes?
I want to talk about tinted school bus windows. Don't your kids go to U school?
I was undecided, Solana, and we drop our kids off, Josh, just so y'all know the truth.
All right, we got to go. We love you. Josh Appel there. See you, Josh.
Love you guys.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.